Our initial investigative reviews, we are going to go to number 19. It's Flynn.
Flynn had to take a call at 1 o'clock, which is right now.
Okay, sorry, just kidding. All right, so how about we do, let's just start with number, back on the informal interviews, let's do number 4. So 2415, in regards to Hannah Schaefer, DVM, continuance of informal interview of February 21st, 2024, for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order. Dr. Nosley, take it away.
Okay, in case 2415, I would make a motion to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And I would like to ask about previous violations or sanctions, etc.
She has no history.
Thank you. In the case 2415, I would make a motion for 1 year probation to obtain CE. 4 hours in general anesthesia and 2 hours in medical record keeping. No civil penalty. 30 days to accept or move to formal.
So this is an order, so
yeah.
She doesn't have to.
Okay. Right. No.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry. See what happens when they don't
just
interrupt.
Just see if anyone's paying attention here.
Yeah. You should have jumped in.
Okay. We knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Now on to number 5, 2422, in regards to Nilian Gupta, DVM, continuance of informal interview of February 21st, 2024, for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
May we approach?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Gupta has come all the way from Bullhead City, and in retrospect, given the way that the informal interview went last month, and how I wish he would have, I should have insisted that he be here in person instead of appearing telephonically, because I think a lot of things were lost and misunderstood in connection with this case. And with your permission, Madam Chairman, Dr. Gupta would like to address the board.
Okay, sure, go right ahead.
Hello, respectable board members.
Can you speak up a little?
Speak slowly.
Hello, all respectable board members. Myself, Nilin Gupta, DVM. I'm a little bit nervous because I never have board complaint. This is the first time or any major of this kind of thing. So if I'm going a little fast, if you do not understand anything, please stop me right away and I can re-explain it one more time. I'm starting my testimony now. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to address all of the in front of all of the board members. In retrospect, I regret my decision to appear telephonically from Bullhead City during last month informal interview because I don't think that you accurately heard or understood my testimony. I am grateful for this opportunity to clear some things up. This case involves a cat seizure that was presented to me by Mary Seymour on July 14, 2023 with a history of having urinary problems for the prior 2 weeks. After my initial physical examination, I told the owner that she needed to take seizure to an emergency facility because the cat had a blocked urethra and cat was a life-threatening condition. Unfortunately, the owner had financial constraints and she could not afford an emergency hospital. This was Friday afternoon, and after I told the owner that our facility would be closing at 1 p.m. and closed on weekend, she requested me to keep and treat seizure, which I agreed to do as a special accommodation to the owner. The violation you reached last month was with respect to the SDMA test and fluid therapy that I provided, and I would like to clarify my testimony on those two things. First, with regard to SDMA test, I know that SDMA is a biomarker to diagnose early stage kidney disease in dog and cat. Given seizures that was presented to me and the fact that this was the first time I had ever seen seizure with previous history of urinary problem without having previous medical records, I wanted to see his SDMA values along with BUN and creatinine in order to fully assess renal or post-renal acidemia for future prognosis or assessment. It has no importance and medical significance on day one of obstruction, but it can be used later for comparison or further assessment or recommendation for seizure. During the informal interview, Dr. Nosley asked if I was going to use SDMA as a prognosis of kidney function, and I answered yes without fully explaining the reason. I believe this answer was misinterpreted as a sign that I lacked knowledge as to why SDMA tests are run. I realized this after listening to the board member discussion, and I tried to explain my answer, but I was not allowed to speak as that was the time of board member discussion only. Just so that we are clear, I did not use SDMA test as a prognosis for seizure. If I asked did I use SDMA values for seizure prognosis, then my answer was no. The SDMA value will change following treatment, so how could can I possibly use it for prognosis of seizure? It is the same statement I mentioned in the client communication in medical records. Given your discussion, I feel that it was mistakenly concluded that I was heavily relying on the SDMA values for a prognosis, which was not the case. My prognosis of seizure was based on his general health condition, which was not improving during hospitalization, the reoccurrence of catheter obstruction with crystals, and on the entire chemistry panel. Second, regarding the IV versus subcutaneous fluid therapy, one of the board members correctly commented that I started this therapy by following standard protocols for the treatment of urethral obstruction. I had already given 100 ml of LRS as a subcutaneous fluid before I placed the IV catheter and urinary catheter. I then started with IV fluid therapy with a double maintenance dose and plan to increase gradually as I want to make sure that catheter will not obstruct again and finalize the volume based on urine output. After 2 hours of IV fluid therapy, I did not see any urine output and the bladder was heavily distended. I immediately stopped giving IV fluid plus the catheter with normal saline and manually expressed the bladder and unblocked the catheter, and the same thing was happening repeatedly. The rationale behind stopping the IV fluid was to prevent the bladder from getting overly distended and rupturing if urethral catheter is blocked with crystals, which can happen sometimes in long-standing cases. The question was asked why I switched from IV to subcutaneous fluid therapy as my choice of my treatment is itself confusing. It was not my choice or goal to treat his azotemia or post-urethral obstruction diuresis if present with subcutaneous fluid therapy. I want to let you know that I did not switch from IV to subcutaneous fluid therapy. I simply had to stop IV fluid to prevent a serious complication. I want to make sure that catheter flushing out clearly before putting him back on IV fluid therapy to treat his azotemia or post-urethral obstruction diuresis if present. My concern in continuing with fluid therapy while the catheter was blocked is that there was a significant chance that the bladder would rupture. I witnessed this situation when I was working in an emergency hospital in Alabama with another doctor. This doctor unblocked a cat and started IV fluid therapy, and after a few hours, nurse noticed that there was no output of urine, and the doctor went to do examination. Bladder was ruptured with gentle palpation. I did not want this to happen to Caesar. This was my thinking and rationale behind stopping IV fluid therapy since catheter is keep reobstructing. I worked as an emergency veterinarian for a couple of years and I had handled urethral obstruction cases successfully. After this case, I had treated another case with same age of urethral obstruction with the same history and almost similar biochemistry panel with a positive outcome. I hope that this clarification of my testimony will cause board members to reconsider the decision that was made last month. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Nosley.
Are we doing questions or just discussions?
I think it's just discussion at this point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think anything has changed for me. I would make a motion to accept the findings of fact and the conclusions of law.
Yeah, I'm going to second that. I want to make a comment that by going through the records, it says in here specifically that was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney disease, which was indicated by an extremely high value SDMA. So I mean, it was used as a diagnostic. And with a post-renal obstruction, you're expected to see that. The cat at that time acutely might have been in stage 4, but once that obstruction was relieved, that most likely would have corrected. And I think, again, this was misinterpreted, wrong information was given, and unfortunately, decisions were made before or were made based on faulty interpretation of results. So I appreciate the comments, but it doesn't change how the case was handled and what the results were here.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, you made a motion.
I made a motion.
Okay.
Dr. Wright seconded.
Yeah. And then it was seconded. Okay. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I'd like to ask for previous violations or sanctions.
He has no previous history.
In case 2422, I make a motion for 1 year probation. CE, 1 hour of SDMA testing and interpretation, 2 hours fluid therapy, 3 hours on the treatment of azotemia.
In relation to blockage or just azotemia?
In general.
Okay.
And no civil penalty.
Okay. And then if not signed?
Oh, that's what I meant. Not signed within 30 days.
No,
that's
no
we don't
order.
Have to. No, just
oh, okay.
It's an order.
It's an order.
It's an order.
Look at me. Okay.
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
All right. So, do we need to wait the official 2 minutes to start our 1:15, or
are you good?
Okay. So we are going to go back to our IIRs. Let's see, we're just going to go up to number 2, 2446, in regards to Ivory Wildflower DVM. Please note that Dr. Thompson and Dr. Wright are both recused. And if Annalise will read us the case summary.
Case 2446.
Well,
the complaint is Ashley Finch. Respondent is Ivory Wildflower DVM. On July 27, 2023, Bandit, a two-and-a-half-year-old male Yorkshire Terrier, was presented to the respondent for a neuter and deciduous teeth extraction. The procedure was done, and the dog recovered uneventfully. The dog went home later that afternoon. On July 28, 2023, the dog started to have diarrhea. Over the next few days, the dog became more lethargic and passed bloody diarrhea. On July 30th, 2023, complaint contacted the dog's groomer, who was also the receptionist for the respondent. The receptionist stated to discontinue the pain medication and bring the dog in to the respondent the next day. On July 31st, 2023, the dog passed away. The committee concluded that there was no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act. It was moved and seconded. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent nor the complainant. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay, thank you. Some, I think, pertinent facts to look at in this case. This patient was seen by the respondent 3 weeks before the scheduled castration. And then after that 3 weeks at intake, there was immediately some sedation given, and I still have questions about by who calculated the dose. The staff member, one of the staff members' narrative says we. I don't know who we is. There's the staff indicates that it was based on a 3.9 weight, and the respondent says it was based on a 5.2. Very small dog, these things matter. There was no mention in the narrative by the respondent about anything about these pre-meds. Now we have this weight discrepancy. I heard in the IC that, well, dogs gain weight in 3 weeks. Respondent, I have an issue with the respondent not providing records only after the board complaint. And so again, by who and when was this exam done, medications done? We have the issue of the clostridium that was uncovered by the necropsy. Unfortunately, we had a necropsy in this case. Clostridium can be normal flora, but in certain strains, or whether they're sporulated or not, they can be highly contagious or infectious. We had some issues that we heard about in the IC regarding sanitation of this facility. So with all these questions, I have to make a motion to move to informal.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move case 2446 to an informal. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, so let's go ahead and go back to, so we are on our informal interviews. Item number 3, 2479, in regards to Timothy Chasson, I always pronounce it wrong, DVM.